4-3-2. Welcome to the Steelers Depot live stream here on this Monday, March 18th. I am Alex Kazor. As always, joining me is Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com here for the next hour to answer any and all of your Steelers questions. And Dave, last time we spoke, we said we'll see where this team is at 2 weeks from now, and don't think anybody could have predicted where exactly this team would be at. So to recap, just probably a fraction of what's happened so far. Russell Wilson in, Justin Fields in, Kenny Pickett out, Patrick Queen in, other free agent signings, Deontay Johnson out, Dante Jackson in. I mean, it's been an unbelievable past week.
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you? I just here so I don't get fined. No. Deshaun Elliott, Van Jefferson. Man, where's my list here real quick here, Alex?
Cameron Johnson, the punter. We can't forget the punter, the Aussie. Yeah.
Let's see. You hit it. Patrick Queen in. Russell Wilson in. Cameron Johnston in. Miles Killebrew re-signed. Christian Kuntz re-signed. Deshaun Elliott in. Montrevious Adams re-signed. Van Jefferson signed. Justin Fields traded for, Dante Jackson traded for, and out the door go Deontay Johnson and Kenny Pickett. So happy Monday, everybody. Where would everybody like to start? Would you like to start?
I'm sure there's a ton of questions. We will try to answer as many as humanly possible until 8 p.m. Eastern time. Probably a good time if you want to, no obligation, but if you want a guarantee of your question being asked and answered by David and myself, you can send us a super chat, and we would really appreciate that. You will go to the front of the line. If you guys could at least subscribe and like this video to bring more of Steelers Nation in, we would really appreciate that. And right off the top, we got a $20 super chat from our friend Double HH, who says, "For Trevor Kazora, Daddy was busy with Uncle Dave first week of free agency and neglected him." Yeah, poor Trevor. He's in the corner somewhere. Haven't talked to him in a little bit. Hope he's okay.
Oh boy, Double H, you see it. It's been a crazy, really 2 weeks in total here. Obviously for the Steelers and us trying to keep up with it, trying to put out as much content as we possibly can. So Alex has been busy this week.
We've all been busy. The hamster has been running on that wheel pretty much nonstop. So let's dive right into the questions, starting with Lumberzack94, who says, "Hey, fellas, got a weird one for you guys tonight. Do you think there is now a lesser of a role for a guy like Mike Sullivan now that Kenny Pickett is gone? Seems like he was meant to be a bridge between Smith and Pickett. Curious on how his role will change. No problems for me. I'm all for having more good coaches, but it just seems like an odd fit now." Yeah, I mean, I think the intuition of Sullivan kind of being that bridge guy makes sense, but you know, his role will be the same. He's the, you know, assistant coach that will help probably with the game planning and coordinating and certain film study each week. So I don't think they're going to dump him. A lot of most of the coaching spots are already spoken for. So where would he even go if he wanted to leave? I think that's one guy that will stay.
Yeah, I agree, but I certainly understand the question.
Sure.
For whatever that's worth. And yeah, if you had to, I said this the other day on the podcast, if you had all this on the as a parlay here, congratulations, because the odds had to be pretty long that we saw what happened here. So I don't think they'll dump them. If that's what the overall question is here.
Yeah, that's my expectation as well. Now, is 2024 his last year? My guess, just a guess, would be yes, but we'll see where things go after this season. The crazily named The Cats Took Over My Channel, that is his username, says, "With the success Russ had with Tyler Lockett, an undersized wide receiver, could Calvin Austin see similar production?" I get the comparison, but I wouldn't call them, you know, alike. And just because one guy's undersized, another guy's undersized from Seattle and with Wilson, you know, years ago, I think there's a lot more involved than just kind of those baseline similarities. So Austin, we'll see what the opportunity is for him. You know, Deontay Johnson out, you would think it would increase that chance, but of course they will add receivers and potentially wanted Mike Williams. I've already signed Van Jefferson. So I'm not as big a fan of Austin as some people are, so I don't really see that comparison. I was a big fan of Lockett coming out of Kansas State, but I don't – I mean, we'll see in camp, but I wouldn't make that comparison just based off their size and playing with Russell Wilson.
What they need to do is they need to define what kind of role now Calvin Austin, how they can fit Calvin Austin into this offense and get him on the field maybe a little bit more than he was able to do last year. And it'd be interesting to see. Look, we're only not even a week into the start of the new league year here. I would you know, Van Jefferson's been signed. I would imagine there's a decent chance of another veteran wide receiver being signed. Heck, they're bringing in Mike Williams for a visit, and there's obviously been a lot of talk about whether or not this team will sign Tyler Boyd. So I would think that another wide receiver in free agency is coming. And then what's going to happen during the draft? I mean, they've got to fill this wide receiver room back up. But yeah, I'm not expecting Calvin Austin to have in any type of kind of role of what we've come to know out of Lockett the last, you know, especially during his prime.
And while each team is different, we know under Arthur Smith, the wide receiver production typically isn't distributed throughout. It's kind of concentrated to one name and a bunch of tight ends, and the other guys kind of get mixed in. So receivers still a need, still need a starter opposite of George Pickens, no question about that. But, you know, the construction of this offense, historically for Arthur Smith, has not been friendly to third and fourth string wide receivers.
Right.
All right, next question will come from our friend Mike Adesso. Already 113 people here in the chat, so really appreciate you guys. Be sure to like the stream to invite more of Steelers Nation. But Mike says, under-discussed is with potential new kickoff rules coming, Steelers are going to need to upgrade a kick returner. Wonder if that'll be the third running back or third or fourth wide receiver, or maybe Calvin Austin, the third, any running back, wide receiver, kick returner in the draft worth a pick. I have not kind of gone through that list. I mean, it could be, you know, could you put Calvin Austin back there? It wasn't him last year. It was McFarland and Godwin Igwebuke. You know, A, the rule has to pass, and we'll have to see exactly what, you know, comes from that in terms of the increase in kick returns. I mean, again, you can still boom the ball out of the end zone, still a touchback, and the whole thing is kind of moot in that regard. But an interesting thought, and certainly something to look at with that third running back spot and the back end of the receiver depth chart.
Yeah, I haven't even gone down that rabbit hole of thinking yet. So, it's something definitely as we get closer to training camp and into training camp and all, and if the rule passes and all like that, it will be definitely something to think about who will handle kick returns for this team.
Sure. So one of those things on the list, but just haven't looked at it in terms of the draft names, in terms of any prolific return guys in college. I just really haven't done a lot of research on that. Yeah, it's been very free agent dominated, obviously, the last 2 weeks. John Pennington says, hello, Dave and Alex. Do you guys think there is anyone on the practice squad ready to move up and play right tackle and Jack Coletto manning the fullback position? We'll have to get eyes on Coletto, and just, you know, we signed midseason, don't know a ton about him, but, you know, could get a shot as a fullback in this offense. What about right tackle? Is there anybody, if they wanted to move Broderick Jones over right now, is there anybody that could step in?
Well, I mean, Dylan Cook is a guy that actually, you know, that caught our eye last year during the preseason and all like that, and he was on the roster last year, so there's some level of comfort with him. He position flexible, much like Spencer Anderson is. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Look, once again, we're talking about what's going to happen. How much will the draft influence this? Is there a right tackle coming in via the draft? Is there another lower level, cheap, extremely cheap? Because a year ago, weren't we talking about LaRaven? Was it a year ago LaRaven Clark was signed?
Yep.
You know, so, and obviously he didn't stick and all like that. Not saying that anybody that they go out and add now at this point would be serious competition, but if you're looking at specific practice squad tackle, man, I would like to think, and all, he was, I'd like to think more along the lines of the 53 with Dylan Cook is a guy that it'll be fun to learn more about him this summer.
Definitely. That's one of the top guys I want to watch develop in his second year with the team. Got signed last May, you know, quarterback for the first half of his college career at Montana Northern, becomes an offensive lineman, athletic, big, good hand use, really good snatch and trap. Played both tackle spots, played some left guard late in the preseason, late in training camp. So that's a guy that, you know, could he become your swing tackle with a really good summer? Potentially. But we got to see more from him. He's got to get more reps, and I'm excited to watch him. All right, next question, and thank you guys so much for the many questions already. Captain Spartan 04 says, "Hey, Alex and Dave, do y'all think we draft an inside or outside corner, and what position do you think we'll get with the second, third-round pick, assuming we get center, wide receiver, and corner with the first three?" That second question probably harder to answer based on the board and what's available, but in terms of corner, what do you think this team's focus will lie?
Man, I think right now you could see them drafting both right now. It's another situation with how's the rest of this free agent. There are a lot of corners still out there. Now, some of them have those question marks attached to them and injury concerns, and you know the Maddox, formerly of the Eagles, and Tre'Varius White. You know, there's going to be some. There's a lot of names, and these guys are going to end up being. The price is only going to lower on them. So I think at the further you get into this, and we see what they did with the Dante Jackson contract. So, you know, at that price that he's at $6 million right now, you'd like to think he's got the inside route to at least initially be that guy, you know, maybe opposite Joey Porter Jr. But the price now with him doesn't necessarily nail you down. So I think they're definitely going to draft one, and obviously you got Corey Trice. You know, you're going to try to learn more about him and Darius Rush over the summer. I wouldn't put him past them right now, at least where we sit right now, drafting one of both, but that could obviously change depending on who you sign the remainder of free agency.
Sure, I would say both are needs. Even if Jackson is your starting outside corner, which I think he will be, the depth right now is minimal with Levi Wallace, a free agent, James Pierre, a free agent. Yes, there is Trice off the ACL and Rush in his second year after bouncing around as a rookie. You know, some options, but you probably want some more experience behind that. And slot corner, there's really nothing there with Peterson cut. You know, I think Chandon Sullivan, probably a guy that gets re-signed in time, but, you know, he's really a rundown guy. Zone coverage guy, and you probably were looking for a bit more ceiling and man coverage and just overall, you know, pass defensibility from the slot corner spot. So, yeah, I think both are very much on the table right now.
They're going to be at the Michigan Pro Day, you know that.
Yeah, for Sanders still. I think that's a guy that will be talked about quite a bit. Quick sidebar before our next question. I know some people have asked me about it, and many people, you know, kind of will show up for the event here, but our official Walk the mock draft will be Saturday, March 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I will be again drafting as GM for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just two rounds this year, I believe, is my understanding. I don't think it's going to be the three rounds we've had in past years, just the top two rounds. But of course, it'll be live streamed, and you guys will be my scouts and help me draft for the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, next question will come from EST1909ENT. He says, "With Fields flaws and all, is he today a better quarterback than Pickett? I think he is." Who's the better quarterback right now, Fields or Pickett?
Fields.
I will go Fields too. Now, they are different quarterbacks. I think Pickett's a guy that takes great care of the football. Fields has been the opposite of that. But I think the dynamic plays, the highs of Fields, you know, help mitigate some of the negatives that he has. And, you know, Pickett is very much just, you know, low, you know, not flighty, not inconsistent, but just kind of low level consistent play. And I think you take some of the highs with Fields as he grows. You saw him improve down the stretch last year, Chicago winning four of their last six, just better play overall. I think you take that over Kenny Pickett.
Look, I'm trying to learn more and more about Justin Fields every night, late at night. Watch, you know, half a game here, half a game there, and all like that. I'll tell you one thing, and I mentioned this on the podcast this morning. Ben Solak, who writes for The Ringer, who really I really love his work. I think he does a great job breaking down tape, not only quarterback, you know, all positions. I think he's really, really good at what he does. He has a flag really, really planted in deep on Justin Fields, where he's at coming out of late last season, and where, you know, there's still being upside left in his game. He just does not understand why the Bears dumped Fields for what they dumped him for at this point. So, you know, for him to plant as deep of a flag as he's planted on him right now, I don't think you can just take that as a passing by. You know, there's obviously all these talking heads and, you know, around the league that, mm-hmm. you know, are and will talk about Justin Fields and all like that. But when Ben Solak talks about a guy and really plants a flag, especially someone like Justin Fields, who you know, really has a lot of question marks coming out of his first three seasons and obviously the highs and the lows and all like that, I think it's worth paying attention to be honest with you.
Sure, there's no question what Fields could be with time and development, and if he's able to just, you know, get off that roller coaster and be a bit more consistent. There's always going to be, I think, some highs and lows and variance to his game, some inconsistency, but can you just mitigate some of the negativity and, you know, so he's not turning the ball over and getting sacked at the rates that he is? If you can reduce that by, let's say, a third, you got a really quality quarterback. All right, got a $2 super chat from our friend Dead Planet, who says, could you see them taking a quarterback if someone falls? I'll be very careful in my quarterback predictions for the rest of the offseason, considering everything that has happened. But my guess is that they would not do that unless something dramatic were to occur. I think what you're seeing Pittsburgh, you know, fueled by these aggressive moves and active free agency and really making some radical shifts is this desire to win a playoff game. It's been 7 years. You feel the frustration from ownership down. This team cannot get over the hump. And obviously drafting a quarterback in the first round is not going to provide the short-term benefit. So, again, I will leave things open and just say we'll see, but I would very much guess against that idea in the first round.
I would in the first round, yes, but Dead Planet, I do think, and we'll see how the rest look. This is a team, if we think we know one thing about the quarterback position right now, it's that they're going to take four to training camp. Mm-hmm. They've said that several times. It's usually what they do. They obviously have just two in that room right now, so four minus two, take off my shoes, carry the pinky toe, that leaves two left spots to be filled there. I think it's plausible, at least where we sit right now, that potentially one of those spots go to a later round draft pick. But then once again, they don't have a seventh, right?
Correct. Now they now have two 6 round picks.
That might be the spot, say the FSU quarterback, who there's already been a little bit of rumblings that they've kind of been linked to him early on in the draft process there. So, no, I don't think it'll happen in the first round, but I don't think you can entirely rule it out maybe in the later round of getting a young kid.
Sure, I think that's very much possible. But when he said, you know, if somebody falls, I was assuming that was meaning maybe sure. Somebody in the first round. But, yeah, I think later rounds, day three, certainly possible. But early on, I'd be doubtful of.
Right.
Adam Stahl says, anyone else a little squeamish hearing about Russ signing an extension with us at the end of the season now that we got Fields? If they look similar in camp and practice, I think Justin Fields gets that deal. No, I wouldn't be squeamish. I mean, Pittsburgh will let the season play out, and the tape and the talent and the results will dictate what they want to do. Yeah, the report is they would like to do an extension with Wilson, but they have not. And if they can change their mind easily and be done with that, if they don't feel like Wilson can be the guy in 2025 and beyond. I mean, reportedly, Wilson was trying to angle for a second year on his contract with the teams he was talking to, and Pittsburgh being one of them, they declined. So they had an opportunity to do a multi-year deal if they wanted to. They said, no, let's do 1 year vet minimum. So they'll let the season play out and just kind of see how everything looks.
Adam, I think that that's something that the tape will speak for itself as far as him signing an extension, Russell Wilson, after the season goes. I think the thing maybe to watch, what Alex and I kind of bantered about in the podcast earlier today, is will they or won't they get Justin Fields maybe signed to a year extension this offseason. That would be something to watch. And if so, if they do, it's a big if, but if they do, what does that look like and how threatening would that be to Russell Wilson potentially re-signing after the season? Look, you hope you hope whatever it looks like, whether it's Wilson or Fields, that either, you know, whoever has to play the majority of the snaps at quarterback does a fantastic job, and that you're thinking ahead. All right, you know, one of these two can be the quarterback in 2024. But I'll worry about Wilson as the season progresses. I think the real thing to kind of keep one eye looking at is, do they do something with Fields the rest of this offseason as far as a possible extension?
Sure. And if not, then again, you evaluate what Wilson does in 24, what Fields potentially does if he comes in for injury or specialty packages or whatever the case or rationale is, and you make a decision after 2024. There is some flexibility. There is some time. The good news is Pittsburgh does not have to make a decision right now. The bad news is no one's really quite sure who their quarterback of 2025 is, and that can be an uncomfortable spot to live in for a little while. And Kevin kind of has the same question. Isn't the talk that we intend to sign Russ to an extension all just fluff? If he plays poorly, they're not going to invest real money in a 37-year-old quarterback coming off a bad year. Yeah, that's why it's their intent. If they wanted to do it, they would have done it right now. But they hope so. That's their intent. This thing goes well. But if it doesn't, they can get out pretty clean.
Right.
Two super chats here. $10. One from Steeler out west says, rumor Herbig, that's Nate Herbig, was told to treat his offseason as if he was playing center. If true, would this mean the Steelers are definitely going center in the first round? I think they're going to take a center high regardless of what Herbig was or was not told. What that could mean is maybe they're not going to take a veteran in free agency and go with Herbig plus draft pick plus some of Spencer Anderson. Ryan McCollum is a fourth string kind of guy. That could be the approach. But I think they were going center no matter what they told Herbig. I mean, they need a center. Herbig is not a center. There's not one in free agency they didn't grab. Center is one of the weakest spots on the roster right now.
First or second round, it feels like.
Yeah, it's not a question of if. It's a question of when and who. Again, it'll be a big discussion. First round, Powers Johnson from Oregon. Second round, Zach Frazier. If they're at that Duke Pro Day, when is the Duke Pro Day? When that comes up, you really want to see, will they attend that for Graham Barton?
Right, I'll have to research that.
Yeah, we'll get that. Another $10 super chat from Diego Cardona says, Steelers fan from Southern California here. Which option would you guys prefer? Jackson Powers Johnson in round one with a corner or wide receiver round two, or offensive tackle or wide receiver round one with Zach Frazier in round two? It's tough to map these things out, especially without all the names in place and some of them just kind of being positions. You know, I want this team to get that next great center, so I may lean towards, you know, Powers Johnson, but I've kind of gone back and forth truthfully, and I don't have a specific preference where I say you have to do this route or the other route. I think, you know, it depends on the board, who's available, any potential trade offers you have. There's a lot of variables and factors that go into it, but certainly it all has to be addressed, I think, you know, sooner than later. This offense needs protection, especially with the rates that Wilson and Fields have been sacked at, and you got to get another weapon to replace Deontay Johnson. You can't be so kind of thin at wide receiver with Pickens and not much else. So again, maybe a better answer than I do, Dave, in terms of which you would rather have.
Obviously both of their tapes fine. There's a reason I think Jackson Powers Johnson is ranked higher than Frazier is. It feels like it's going to be one of the two. Be honest,
it does, but you know, it's felt like a lot of things this offseason. Could Barton be in the mix? Could Van Fran Granger be in the mix on a day two, third round kind of thing? Who knows?
I'm trying to see when the Duke. I'm not seeing any definitive dates on the Duke Pro Day. I haven't not checked the NFL.com post yet, though.
Okay, Mike Adesso saying he thinks the Dukes is at the same time that Tomlin and Omar will be at the owners' meetings, so that could present a conflict that happened last year. That may kind of make it a little bit harder to gauge, but I don't have the exact dates on Duke's Pro Day.
I'm trying to look at the NFL page right now to see if I see. It looks like March 28th.
Is that league meetings? That's also, when is the Big 12 Pro Day too? That's right around that time. It's the end of the month, so it could be a lot happening for us to try to.
That is the Big 12. That is the Big 12 Pro Day. Also, let's see, North Carolina, let's see, Big 12 Pro Day, Charlotte, Duke, Howard, Marshall, North Carolina, Rutgers, and Washington on that day.
All right. Could be a lot of noise there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there overall.
Mark March 28th on your calendars.
Going to be a busy one, no question. $5 super chat from Ryan Riffle, who says, "Hey, Dave, you are pretty cool. I've got a Kenny Pickett jersey for sale if you're interested. Would you guys, would you ever do a live during the draft? Would we ever go live during the draft,
Dave?" No. I won't say no. It's just not in the plans right now. Look, I have a hard enough time multitasking as it is, and I'm distracted easily, and I really like to follow the draft, with whatever television coverage and obviously Twitter, and, you know, making sure we got a lot going on the site on that day. So it would be really, really challenging to do it and add any good content within that. So probably not.
Yeah, if we did a live stream, it'd be us just typing and just staring into a screen for multiple hours on end, which maybe some people would enjoy, but I don't think many. Is that a no, though, on the Kenny Pickett jersey? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say no, right. Not today.
Maybe tomorrow, Ryan. Right. We'll let you know. Maybe it'll come vintage someday. M. Farrell says, "How likely do you see the Steelers playing a game in Ireland this year?"
Yeah, I don't think this year, maybe next year. But look, they have obviously spent a lot of time over there. Steelers.com has done a great job of promoting their recent visits over there. It feels like it's going to happen. It wasn't on the international schedule though, right? So
right.
So I don't. It doesn't sound like it's going to be them this year. I would look more towards maybe the possibility of next year. It feels more like next year seems more plausible.
Yeah, they have not played an international game since that London game over a decade ago. I think it'll happen. They'll be playing somewhere out of the country within a year or two. I'll say this, whenever the NFL does play a game in Ireland, whenever that is, Pittsburgh will be one of the teams in that game. I'll tell you that much. I think it will happen within a couple of years. This year, who's to say, but I think soon. All right, Paul Brown has a good question for you, Dave. Is there anything in place to prevent owners from bypassing the salary cap? Couldn't Robert Kraft say, "Hey, player, why don't you sign for the vet minimum and be the official spokesman of my other company?" Are there any rules to prevent teams from kind of circumventing the cap?
I mean, I can't quote, you know, a CBA passage to you on this, but there are obvious, you know, you would think safeguards within all that. They have thought this stuff out. I mean, we saw the 49ers today get gigged for some sort of accounting errors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that has obviously cost them. So, yeah, I would like to think that there are safeguards. Once again, I can't quote the you know passage or whatnot, that, you know, there would be things, safeguards built in for payments outside from ownership and all like that, and to prevent that kind of stuff from happening.
Yeah, I know I've heard or read, maybe it was Florio, maybe it was somebody else that's talked about this. I mean, again, the NFL, they're not dumb. They're aware of what teams could try to do, and I think there are some. If you made it blatant and obvious, you would get caught. Now, what if you didn't make it blatant and obvious? What if you paid a guy $5 million less than maybe what he should have gotten? You do something with stocks. Then there's some rumors about Brady getting something, you know, a wink, wink. I'm not sure if that's all, you know, 100% accurate or ever happened or confirmed, but it's been rumored and speculated about some different guys over time. But yeah, I'm sure if you made it too obvious, the NFL would shut that down and punish you pretty severely and pretty quickly. All right, next question. So Mike Williams questions. This one comes from Benro07. What are the chances they sign Mike Williams? Who knows at this point? I can't rule it out. He's got to get to Pittsburgh first, and I think Josina Anderson just tweeted a short time ago, Williams will come in Thursday. We know it'll be after the Jets. He's with the Jets now into Tuesday. I guess that means Carolina will be Wednesday and then Pittsburgh on Thursday. So, you know, we'll see.
I think then that's another thing we talked about during the podcast today is, you know, he's getting close to 6 months since that injury actually happened. and all. And yeah, you know, I know they've come a long way with that, but the Chargers did release him with a failed physical, so he's not 100% yet. I kind of vision, look, there's nothing that says he can't sign. He's a street free agent now, you know, nothing says he can't sign. I kind of envision the timing of all this, of teams maybe wanting to look at maybe where he's at in rehab, get an idea of what he's looking for, market value, because I would like to think that you'd like to know what you're getting into. Once again, I mean, could he come to Pittsburgh on Thursday and they send him off to UMPC?
UPMC.
UPMC, and, you know, they like what they see, and they say, look, this is what we want to offer you. And here's another thing with him as well, too. You know, it's going to be interesting to see his market price, because, like, the Steelers generally – historically, if you're talking about a guy, at, you know, during the offseason, all with maybe a $6 or $7 or $8 million value, the Steelers generally like to try to shy away from those. Now, they did do that with Larry Ogunjobi, two off seasons ago, right? After he failed the physical with the Bears, and it got later into the offseason, the Steelers signed him to a deal. It was like, what, 1 year? What was it, $9 million or something? Eight million, something.
I think 8 million, yeah.
Yeah, that now, yeah. Could they go this route again? It's plausible, but at least in my head, the way I envision this, with this only being 6 months out from his injury, I kind of wonder if teams just want to see where he's at medically.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So again, in this off season with a need and some cap space, could it happen? Sure. My first thought is let's get to Thursday first, make sure he doesn't get signed by the Jets or the Panthers or the Chargers swoop back in and give him a great offer, and then we'll kind of take it from there. But again, I really don't know what'll happen there.
I mean, there's obvious interest in there, or else they wouldn't bring him in. So, yeah, we just see what happens after that.
All right, Colton 53, happy Monday, Steelers Nation. What a week. I'm still not sold on Fields turning things around, but I think this is the best possible situation for him. Here we go. Yeah, it's fair not to be sold on him, but considering what you gave up, which was essentially nothing, if it doesn't work out, what have you really lost? You know, probably at that point, a six-round pick next year. It is worth that risk.
I agree. Yeah, I think at what they got him for, and from what I've seen on tape, and you know, it was definitely worth what they gave up for him.
They've leveraged some really unique situations to get Wilson for the minimum, and then Fields for pennies on the dollar. It's been those things don't happen often, and to do it twice in the same offseason, a week apart, is pretty just fun to watch happen. Mm-hmm. All right, from Z3 Music Official, a $10 super chat. Thank you so much. Says, do you expect the team to use a high draft pick rounds 1 through 3 on a right tackle so Jones can move back to left tackle? Also, what do you expect the team to do to address center since it's been rough since Pouncey left? I would not use the word expect for right tackle right now. Could it happen? Sure. Do I want it to happen? Absolutely. Is it a really good tackle class? Yes. But I think center's their highest priority. Receiver is too. Stuff defensively. And by round 3, then the tackles that are, you know, that are good and strong are all going to be off the board. So I wouldn't say expect with tackle. Center, they're going to draft early, rounds 1 or 2.
I agree, and they have right now how many third-round picks? Two?
Two, 98, and their original, which is 80-something, I think.
Let's see what the post says here. What, 84th overall and 98th overall?
Okay.
Is it plausible that they draft a right tackle with, let's say, one of, you know, if they don't get, say, Aramis Mims or something in the first, is it plausible that they draft one with one of those two third round picks? Yes. Is that what he's looking for?
He said rounds 1 through 3, so that would qualify. But does a third round, if you use pick 98, does that mean that Jones goes back to left tackle right then and there? You go into camp, you might see what the third round pick guy has, but I wouldn't call that a slam dunk move for the team.
I would definitely give him every opportunity to show what he has to see if he can win that spot.
Right. That's
fair. So that Jones can flip over to the left side.
Yeah. And again, I would love that to happen. but I'm less confident in that as I am center being their primary focus right now when it comes to the offensive line. All right, Ryan, again, $5 Super Chat. Fun question. Who wins a race 2020, Ben Roethlisberger or rookie Casey Hampton? Can neither be a choice. They both just give up at the 33-yard line. I'll go Ben by a nose.
I think Ben can take him by a couple of lengths.
But it still will not be a pretty race to watch. Pull up a chair. Rob Jones, a $5.
I don't know. I'd pay $10 for that on a live stream. I certainly would.
We'll see if Ben can make it happen. Another $5 Super Chat from Rob Jones. Thank you guys so much for all the Super Chats. Really, really appreciate that. He says, Omar has moved up a total of 81 picks in the 2024 draft, traded one 2025 pick, and added two 2025 picks. If Art, Tomlin, Khan are at the Washington Pro Day, do all roads lead to Rome? Of course, that means Rome Odunziehe, the top wide receiver. If they're at that Washington Pro Day, our antennas go up. There's no, because they don't go west very often. When they have, it was for DeCastro, you know, way back when, over a decade ago. So we'll watch it. Again, if there's league meetings and Big 12 Pro Days, there's going to be a lot of noise trying to, you know, separate what interest is there and what isn't there. But it's a fair question.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is. And boy, if they do, if Tomlin and Khan show up out in Washington, it will perk our antennas up for sure.
Somebody had asked a question about wide receiver. I want to try to find it if I can just right now, if I can. I lost where the if I find it in a moment, I'll go back to it, but I'll kind of go back up to where we were before all the super chats came in. Jared says, thanks for the live stream and all the incredible coverage of this wild off season. Radical, yes. Reckless, no. That's kind of a good way to frame that. I wrote about that this morning when it came to quarterback, maneuvering and really up the upheaval of that quarterback room. Let's see where I was at. LV says, Dave and Alex, the whole fitting the Steelers prototype player seriously needs to end. Based on the criteria of cornerback, we have not selected anyone that is good except Joey Porter Jr. Why follow a broken prototype? What would be your response to the whole prototype has to end?
Well, it's something that we have talked about a little bit about, you know, how effective will the Blues Clues be moving forward with Omar Khan, and should they worry more about the tape and less about arm length and hand size and things of that, things that, you know, we always, you know, look, we take all the measurement. Here's the thing too, you get less of these, even though you can pull them out of pro days and all like that, but it's getting harder to find some of the shuttle times and stuff like that. Here's one thing that's probably not going to go away when it comes to the cornerback position. They like them long.
Yeah, that model has shifted when you saw Porter and Trice get drafted. So I think, to me, the issue is not so much there's a lot of layers to this discussion.
Look, you got to go beyond that. You know, are they primarily a zone? You know, mm-hmm. It goes into how they are schematic wise and how they were used and you know they're not drafting them obviously just because of measurables there. But I think without a doubt, you know, we see that they definitely like them long. They like that avatar cornerback now. Obviously, if you're going to get somebody to play inside, probably not going to be as long. But there will be the athleticism that they chase and the physicality that they chase as well, too. But, what have we known about the cornerback position for some time now when it comes to the Steelers? They like them physical, right? And now add the seemingly more emphasis on length on top of it there. I mean, if there's a cornerback that's long, that's afraid to tackle, he's not going to be on the board, you'd like to think. So I think that the long aspect, especially on the guys outside, is still going to carry a lot of water here.
I think so. The prototype, I think, has changed in recent years. And new GM, half the scouting staff is new. And to me, again, a lot of layers, but the issue is less about the prototype. they just didn't draft corners early. It was a lot of mid-round picks, third, fourth, fifth rounds, where your success rate is lower, and those and probably some misevaluations on the Shaq Richardsons and Terry Hawthorns, and some bad luck with Senquez Golson. I think with Burns, they overcorrected on athletes after missing on Jarvis Jones, and you know, took a guy that was not a good scheme fit, system fit, and just was not ready to play. So I would kind of throw that you know list of corners out the window because it is a new age. You saw the success with Porter. And the prototype does appear to be different, although Dante Jackson is not that prototype, but I think it was kind of just a get what you can get in the Deontay deal.
Right.
All right, got two more Super Chats. Got a ton of them so far. Well over 200 people here in the live stream. Really, really appreciate the great crowd on hand tonight. John Raisin says, what do you guys think of Ladd McConkey being a day two wide receiver pick? I love his tape. Probably the best separator in this class, his quickness, his feet. The guy gets open. My favorite receiver, Dave, is an open wide receiver. He is that guy. He's great character. He's going to be the hearts and smarts type of dude. Does he have the ideal size for a Smith system, quote-unquote? Probably not, but if you want to pair the quickness and separation and nuanced route running of McConkey with the other Georgia kid and Pickens, kind of your more classic Z-type receiver, jump ball, go up there and get it, I'm good with that. So I don't think McConkey's a guy where the offense will run through him. He'll be kind of a number two receiver in an offense, but he's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, and if you don't go wide receiver, and how many is going to come off the board in that first round? Seven? Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the speculation at this point right now. And you know, people just talked about Roma Duse, and all, and the potential maybe if he is sitting there. But if you don't, and you do get into that second round, and you know, go back to the Senior Bowl, and you know, they're not afraid of Georgia players, and Mike Tomlin introduced himself, and I believe they know a lot about him right now at this time. So yeah, I think it's really, really plausible if you got into that second round and Ladd McConkey's on the board there. Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, me too. I would ideally prefer third round to second round, but he might be more of that, you know, second round top 75 kind of guy. We're splitting hairs at that point, but again, had a lot of fun watching his tape. Josh Miller at $10 Super Chat. I assume you're the old Steelers punter, Josh Miller. He says, how big of a window are we wasting with our core? Watt, Cameron, Hayward, Minkah Fitzpatrick. Do you fear by the time we get our next quarterback, we'll be without those key players? I know missing on a round one quarterback has consequences, but oof. Yeah, it's a fair critique. I mean, they've had the oldest defense last year and the third youngest offense. And the concern is by the time you build up your offense and get that figured out, will you be then rebuilding your defense? We'll be having the conversation on the other side where your offense is good and your defense is struggling and your Achilles heel. So that's why you're seeing this team make this push this year, right or wrong. They're being aggressive to try to maximize this window.
That's exactly where I was going to go. I would like to think that the moves that we're seeing this offseason is a concerted effort to try to get it up over the hump for those guys there, because they are getting older for sure. Yeah. It's, you know, you look back at the Killer Bees and all like that, right? You know, how the hell did that team not, you know, compete even more and come away with at least a championship during that period there? You don't want to look back at, you know, these superstar defensive players that you've had on this team and say, man, they, you know, didn't as much even win a playoff game, you know,
right
there. So yeah, I would like to think that some of the stuff they're doing this offseason is to make a serious push at this thing.
Yeah, it has to pain the organization and almost, and this might sound a little too hyperbolic, but you know, shameful that Cam Hayward has one career playoff win. TJ Watt has zero career playoff wins, just pillars of your franchise history, and they don't have that success. And it's hard to win. It's hard to win Super Bowls and make playoff runs. I get that, but that has to be a real pain point. And I think the team realizes the position that they're in and are trying to maximize that window.
A lot of cash invested in it too.
Yeah, that as well, for sure. All right, next question from Humberto says, Jackson Powers Johnson or Mims in round one? Let's answer this from a perspective of what's more likely to occur in round one. What do you think, Dave?
Oh boy, it's.
I'll say Mims.
I would, yeah, Man, it's planet theory right there, for sure. And I could obviously see it going either way, but Mims would – Powers Johnson obviously would have – would seemingly have the better shot to come in right away and start.
Sure.
But, man, you don't find tackles that move like that, that size.
And then I go back to the pro day history. I know that history will be broken, I guess, at some point, but it hasn't yet in terms of having the head coach or GM at your pro day, which has happened for every single first-round Steelers pick since Pouncey in 2010. Yeah, Ziggy was the last one they didn't, and I think that's why they started going to those pro days, because they felt like, okay, we missed on Ziggy. We didn't watch him closely enough, and so I think they kind of corrected that, and that's why they are so boots on the ground for these first round guys and don't want to have smoke screens and play games. I know that they met with Powers Johnson at the Senior Bowl and they probably know him well. I know that Pat Meyer was at the Oregon Pro Day and that matters. I get all that. But just off the history, I'll stick with that. I'll say Mims. But it's not crazy to suggest Powers Johnson either.
Right. Until they give us a reason to start going the other way, as far as pro days and Tomlin and Khan.
Right. Adam says, could you see a Justin Fields package if Wilson is starter, short yardage, RPO? Yeah, I think they should.
Yeah, we talked about that this morning on the podcast too. Yeah.
Don't waste his talent on the bench the entire time. Now, how much and what that looks like, you can debate that, go into camp, see how these guys look and function. But yeah, I think there should be some role for Fields beyond just waiting for Wilson to, get hurt or something like that.
And you put it on tape, other teams have to worry about it, prepare for it. And if you put it on tape and have success doing it, that's another layer that they really have to concentrate on then. So, right. Yeah, we'll see him on the field.
Yeah, I think so. We'll see Fields on the field. Let's see. Is there a position or player that if they fell to the 10-12 range that you could see the Steelers willing to move up to get? I guess Adunze would be the guy if you had to pick one name right now. But my inclination, given some of the needs on this team, is they're less likely to do that than they were a year ago for the tackle, because there is depth at receiver, there is depth at tackle, there is depth at center. A year ago, the tackle class was not as deep. There was a pretty big fall off after Skoronski, even though he was going to be a guard, but Wright and Parrish Johnson and Jones. So it's still early in the pro day process. I'll say it's less likely than last year.
But if it was a position, it'd likely be wide receiver.
Yeah, I would say so. I think receiver, they want, if there's a guy they love, I think that's what they would go after. Yeah. Let's see what else we have here. Let's see, Brian, the D-line free agent class was not an impressive one. And even if we get a depth piece like Dean Lowry, we are heading into the draft with nothing behind Cam and Larry. I see this as a major hole on the roster. Yeah, I think it's fair too. D-line certainly has to be addressed. I think day two is where that could come in.
Rook.
Yeah, Rook, a horror from Clemson, a guy that checks all the boxes. Could be that guy
or
in the second
half. Gabe Hall, somebody we've looked at. You've talked to quite a bit about Michigan's Mason Smith. I mean, LSU's Mason Smith. Wasn't there a Michigan guy?
That's Chris Jenkins Jr.
Yeah, Jenkins, yeah.
A little bit shorter, but I think he checks all those other boxes. So, yeah, it's a fair point. Yeah, you want to mention that with center and wide receiver and slot corner, but at least at D-line you have a couple of starters, and Benton should be able to play more rotational sub-package reps this year than he did last season. But yeah, I mean, I get it. D-line is still an area that needs to be addressed, and for agency, there just really is not much out there.
Right.
Let's see. Do I plan on doing any live stream prep before the walk the mock draft? We'll see. I don't have an intent to say yes, but if I get some time, I may do a trial run before the real thing. Again, that's Saturday, March 30th, 8 p.m. Eastern time, our live annual Walk the Mock draft. Let's see what else we have. Who is the new Hillgrove? So basically saying who will replace Bill Hillgrove as the play-by-play announcer. I have no idea.
I don't know.
Some people said Rob King. I don't know. We'll see. Craig, this kind of goes off our conversation from earlier day, but I do want to touch on it here. Should the Steelers try to extend Fields prior to the season? Would they have any leverage to do so, or will Fields likely bet on himself going into 2025, whether he plays or not?
Yeah, I don't want, I mean, that's something that we talked, we spent probably about 15 minutes on it on the podcast this morning here. But I will tell you what I would do if I were Omar Khan. I would try my best to at least approach the situation to see what it would take to add another year to his deal. There's a max amount of value that you're going to put on him, because on top of it, as we talked about early in this live stream as well, too, what if Russell Wilson plays himself into, you know, either an additional year or a long-term deal after, you know, after the season's over with here? There is a monetary value, though. Figure out what you want it to be on Justin Fields' average yearly value, you know, for not only this year, but next year as well, too. Can you somehow convince him to buy that extra year, especially with Russell Wilson not under contract for next year, along those lines? Is it 7 million, 8, you know, because he's set to earn 3-point-something million this year. Could you do something that puts $7 or $8 million in his pocket this year and keeps his cap total about the same as it is right now, and then buy the additional year at backup money for another $7 or $8 million? That's something that I would explore if I'm Omar Khan. Also, that value, you got to be careful with that value, because if you go too high, then it's going to be expected to be your starting quarterback next year. Do I think it's going to happen? I don't know. But I do think that that situation is at least worth monitoring and having discussions, like we're having discussions on the podcast today and in this live chat right now. I think, and look, there, Alex took the devil advocate side, you know, on the podcast this morning, saying, you know, there's a lot of reasons maybe to think that Justin Fields wouldn't be interested in that, but I think there are some other reasons that he could potentially be interested in it as well, too. Price is everything. Guaranteed money is everything. Length is everything in there. So I don't think you can sit here right now and say, oh, no, it's definitely not happening. But sure. I think it's plausible, and I think it's something, if I'm Omar Khan, I'm at least exploring the possibility of him adding on at least a year here.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's well, you know, rationed and explained. My guess would be no, but again, I've been so wrong about the quarterback stuff in this process. You know, we'll see what happens come the summer. $5 super chat from Javon Threat, who says, I heard Deebo Samuels or Brandon Ayuk might be available. Thoughts? I've heard more on Ayuk than Samuels. Samuels was asking for a trade and he got a, you know, deal done with San Fran. I think it's kind of more of a leverage ploy. So, you know, again, I can't say no to anything for Pittsburgh, considering what they've done. If I could put on my tinfoil hat for a second here, Dave, and kind of aligns with this headline just a short time ago on the site, Jerry Dulac saying, don't be surprised if Pittsburgh makes more big moves. I think he was talking about receiver, too. Again, this sounds crazy, I know. What about Stephon Diggs in Buffalo? He's always seemed to kind of been upset with Buffalo. I know they're in a win-now mode, so why would they trade their top guy? But before the draft, I mean, I know Tomlin loves Diggs, always talked about him highly. Again, that's a pretty radical idea. I'm just kind of speculating into the wind. But at this point, I can't say – I wouldn't say 100% no, just given on what Omar Khan has done so far.
Yeah, what's the situation with Brandon Ayuk right now?
I mean, he wants paid, right? He wants a contract, right. I think. I don't know. I mean, obviously, he just saw Deebo get paid, so I think that's a situation there with him.
And what would the compensation be? And you would obviously, if you traded for him, you would probably have to turn around and do a deal with him. And could you do a deal that with a low enough cap hit to work into your cap situation this year? Yes, I think it could be done. I mean, I think the 49ers would be nuts to move away from him personally.
Sure.
But, you know, if I am moving away from him, I want something in return for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he'll cost probably a day two pick would be my guess, just to kind of take a swing at compensation. Yeah, with Diggs, I'm just speculating kind of wildly. I'm not saying they need to do it or should do it or advocating for it. I'm just thinking about, you know, if there is because I think that what the article here from our Ross McCorkle says on the Rich Eisen show, Eisen asked about the reports of Williams meeting with the Steelers to see if that could be the next big move. And Dulac says, yeah, or bigger. is all I will tell you, Rich. It might not even be Mike Williams. It might be a bigger catch. Now, what that means, is that draft? Is that one of these receivers potentially being traded? I don't know. And it could be nothing, but that caught my attention there.
What is, I'm looking at his contract. It's 18.5 base salary this year. It becomes fully guaranteed, I think, today. There's another $255,000 in per game roster bonus and a $250,000 workout bonus. So almost $19 million and he's either 30 or about to be 31 or something along those lines. I mean, that's, hey, you'd have to be able to accommodate that immediately in your cap, you know?
Mm.
You know, so you're talking about, A, what would you have to give up for compensation? B, sure. You'd have to immediately be able to work. You'd have to immediately be able to accommodate that $19 million under your cap, and then go about ways of, even though he's under contract, it looks like through 2027. You know, it would seem like you'd have to go to him right away and say, "We need to restructure you," and then push off prorated money. You would have to at least commit to him for the next couple, 2 or 3 years if you did something like that. To me, at least from a financial aspect, it doesn't seem very plausible.
Okay, fair. I get it.
With Diggs, just yeah. Looking at his age and his contract and cap situation. I mean, look, there's always ways to massage your cap to do this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, at what degree do you want to go about doing it?
Sure. Again, I just talking out loud here. First time I kind of thought about it, talked about it, not saying they need to do it or should do it or that I would welcome it, but just trying to think about some of that based on those Dulac comments. I do want to get to as many questions as we can. I just had, I believe, Tony Pauline, who had noted earlier today that Pittsburgh had an O-line coach at Georgia State's pro day for the tackle, Travis Glover. We know that Isaac Williams, the assistant, is there. I believe Pauline is saying that he was told that two O-line coaches were on hand from Pittsburgh for the Georgia State Pro Day, but he cannot confirm if it was Meyer. Obviously, the only other offensive line coach in Pittsburgh is Pat Meyer, so we will watch and see if Pat Meyer was there as well.
Okay.
Interesting note there. All right, Dave, let's get to as many questions as we can. I might go over a couple minutes past 8 because there are so many questions in the support. 226 people here in the chat. Really, really appreciate that. Somebody had asked me about the lack of an extension for Mike Tomlin. It'll get done. April is typically when the extensions happen, so I think it'll get done probably next month.
Yeah, at some point I think it'll get done. Yeah.
I lost some of the chats because I had accidentally closed out, but I'll try to go through. If you guys have any questions, be sure to ask right now. If you asked maybe 20 minutes ago or so and are still here, ask again, because I just, when you exit the live chat, sometimes it won't load older messages. Mike says no Danny Smith at Iowa today. I don't know who was at Iowa or who was not.
Yeah,
at Iowa.
I haven't even looked yet.
I mean, I think if Tomlin or Omar had been attending, we would have known, but right. I have not gone through my whole pro day tracker for the day. Let's see what else we have. Just kind of quick questions. Luis says, favorite move this offseason? What's been your favorite move Pittsburgh has made?
Patrick Queen.
Oh yeah, we've not talked. Been so much happening to even talk about the highest paid free agent in Steelers history, outside free agent. Great move
yeah.
there.
Yeah, really excited about that move there for sure.
I'm trying to think what my favorite move would be. I think just I have concerns about the long term future of quarterback, but the upgrade there for the minimal risk, I think, is really impressive that Pittsburgh has done for Wilson for the minimum, whose tape was better than what I was expecting when I dove into it, and Fields for, again, pennies on the dollar to transform it so quickly without that risk or out that kind of leap of faith is not something you see very often, and I give Pittsburgh credit for that. All right, what else do we have here? Just a couple more again, a couple more questions we'll try to get to. Do you think Keontae Johnson regrets wanting to be traded now that Wilson and Fields have come aboard? I mean, Wilson was already in Pittsburgh by the time Deontay was on the outs. I don't know. I mean, you know, wish him well. We'll see what happens with him in Carolina.
Yeah, we had the Kenny Pickett press conference with the Eagles today. Hadn't even looked over at the Panthers site to see if Deontay Johnson has talked yet. I know he's done. I think he did an interview with someone with Panthers.com. You would think at some point he's going to meet the media here, but that will be another outside press conference that once it happens, we'll be tuned into.
For sure. Somebody asking, do we still have Corey Trice? Yes, still have Corey Trice, hopefully working his way back. And I would imagine he'll be good to go for at the least training camp with that ACL tear. Mm-hmm. Rob, how much do you guys like Troy Franklin, the receiver out of Oregon? I didn't write the report on him. He's a little bit lankier. He's a speedster. I just kind of worry, is he just kind of a one-note, linear, vertical kind of guy?
Yeah, I agree. I kind of wonder about that. But I haven't gone deep up more than looking over the profile that we have on him.
Right, right. But it is up on the site. Least favorite move of the offseason, says Jack Beasley. Is there one that you didn't like that much?
How about losing Armon Watts?
Ooh, I like that. That's a good one.
You know, not somebody that, I mean, that's, you know, the season's not down the drain because you didn't re-sign Armon Watts, but I would have liked to have seen him back.
Yeah, me too. And I know they brought back Montrevious Adams, but I think Watts has a bit more versatility and just better production, some better metrics overall. Mine, I mean, receiver's still kind of messy. You just spend all this time bringing in these quarterbacks and you deal away Deontay and you don't get a ton of great draft capital to help you get a receiver to replace him with. And then, you know, again, Deontay was layered and maybe he wanted out. The roster bonus was creating a time crunch. But you get these quarterbacks and say, okay, who are they going to throw to at wide receiver? You got Pickens. What else do you have? Again, let the whole offseason play out. But I think they lost the Deontay deal. Van Jefferson does nothing for me. I just kind of wonder what's going to ultimately happen there.
Yeah. Still some time here, though.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, maybe they make a move, and again, we'll see what the whole thing looks like when, you know, we're post-draft and the roster has essentially been set for training camp. Is Justin Fields being looked at strictly as a backup, or do the Steelers look at him as a long-term guy if Wilson leaves after this year? I think it's everything's on the table right now with the quarterback room. I can't rule out anything in terms of what will happen after this year.
Yep.
Thoughts on signing Jarvis Landry? He already said he'd take a vet minimum. There's a reason for that, and I think I'm passing on Jarvis Landry.
I think I'll pass, too.
No Dan Moore next year, right? Nah, he might start. We'll see a tackle, but they're going to take a center high, and they got receiver needs and corner needs. They could go back and run it back with Moore and Jones.
At least week one. I mean, it obviously depends on what they do in the draft and who emerges there and all like that, but just be prepared to see Dan Moore at left tackle in week one, you know, until further notice.
Yeah, for sure. Lizard 72, looking at how Tomlin, Conn, Smith, and Austin are all traveling together, it seems. Do you think they're really trying to reset and get a feel for what each is looking for? To a degree, but they've always kind of traveled in a pack, the coach and GM and coordinators, right?
Oh yeah, when Conn and Tomlin show up, it's usually a caravan.
Right, but even Colbert and Tomlin did the same, and right. Coordinators usually attended. Usually, maybe just one, but yeah, I wouldn't say that's out of the ordinary for what's, you know, past years have looked right. Like. Let's see, what else do we have? Anything else? If you had to pick one hot take player to make the Pro Bowl next year, who would it be? Ooh, Pro Bowl predictions here in March. Somebody who hasn't made it before, I assume.
Oh.
Porter didn't make the Pro Bowl this year, right? If he has great year two. That's not really a hot take, though, but it's kind of like
right. You
could see that, obviously.
I haven't given thought about that. Let me look real quick here.
I mean, a Jalen Warren, if Najee were to maybe go down for a game or two, knock on wood, that doesn't happen.
You'd think probably more along the lines of an offensive lineman, right?
Yeah, Broderick Jones, I could see that. You know, Freiermuth with the tight ends getting more involved, but, you know, some good tight ends in the AFC with Andrews and Kelsey. That's a good question. Really not sure, but a couple names to toss around there. All right, let's see if we have any more questions left. A lot of people saying Pickens as that Pro Bowler. Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. Benton, someone said, Champa says Benton. That's a great one there in terms of the more less obvious names. Edgar, do you think we draft a safety on day two? Probably not after signing Deshaun Elliott.
Would you bring Terrell Edmonds back now at this point on a vet benefit contract?
Well, as you like to say, Dave, you take anybody on that kind of contract. But with Elliott in there, Edmonds not being a special teams kind of guy and pretty limited, I think it's pretty redundant to do that when you signed Elliott.
Okay. Edmonds can play some on special teams for you, though, still.
Yeah, did he do much of that? Did he do that in Philly or Tennessee last year at all? Probably did some in Philly, I'm guessing, right? Because he wasn't playing a full-time defensive role. I'm not opposed to it if they want to. I would get it, but it's not something I'm saying that they really, you know, need to go out there and do.
Right.
All right, and that's probably going to wrap things up there. One last question, actually, from ShadowDark6997. Is there any update on Holcomb? No, just the team is optimistic he'll play, but... And they go sign Patrick Queen. It kind of tells you probably they're not super confident in Holcomb being ready for week one.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see once we get to OTA time. It doesn't sound like they're expecting them to be ready, but stranger things have happened there. So I think really we just put our antenna up for come maybe mandatory mini camp time or obviously start a training camp.
Actually, just two more quickly. Those are the cat. Does Quan Alexander come back? Probably not. This point, maybe check on him in August with that Achilles. And then Mike says, Golden or Bud Dupree? Marcus Golden or Bud Dupree?
Golden.
Yeah, they're pretty similar at this stage. I think Dupree's a bit younger. I'll go the other way and say Dupree, but I don't think either come in. I think you got Herbig there as your number three.
Golden. Neither one of Golden or Dupree going to give you anything on special teams.
So probably not there, but a Golden that was deep, was good in limited action last year. The metrics, the pass rush pressure rates that I chart and things like that were impressive.
Don't forget about Jeremiah Moon in that addition this offseason. He's kind of a dark horse to hang around past preseason.
Oh, just dropped my phone everywhere. But yeah, that's a good note to go out on overall. But yeah, Moon is a guy that can play in special teams and could be that number four with Watt and Highsmith and Nick Herbig. Being your top three. So, Dave, we're going to close things out. You can see an archive and replay version of this on Steelers Depot in just a little bit. Tremendous turnout tonight. One of our biggest crowds for our non-kind of mock off-season or walk-the-mock draft live streams that we've had. So, great job, Dave. Thank you for being here as always.
Well, thank you for doing what you do, part of this. Thank you for everybody that showed up. Thanks for the super chats. Thanks for the great questions. We appreciate all of you. Peace and love.
All right. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Great, great turnout. Thank you guys for the super chats, the questions, the support. The site's done fantastic. But-